Okay. So we have the word Satan. We have the word devil. What other words we have? Deceiver. Serpent. The great dragon. These are all accuser. Okay. Now you can see it. Watch that. Satan. Okay. Satan. The emphasis of the word Satan is the emphasis of that he is against us. He is against us. Okay, he's not for us. He's not neutral. He is against us. He is against us. He is against Christ. He is against, the believers. He is against the plan of God. He is against. Of course, we find that emphasized in the word Antichrist. Antichrist means he is against Christ. Okay? Now, the second word is the devil. Okay? Thank you, sir. Diabolos. We get the word from that. We get the word, the top there is not angel. Oh, yeah, it is. We get the word diabolical. Ever heard of that word before? Diabolical. What does the word diabolical mean? Well, it means he is an evil plotter, diabolical, evil. Okay? See him there. We'll go to the verse there. I'm going to turn to Revelation 12 a minute. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that two of the greatest books, as far as theology are concerned, Genesis and Revelation. Revelation is a tremendous book of theology. Of all the doctrines, you'll find a tremendous amount of truth about every one of the Bible doctrines. All right, so let's look at Revelation 12. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. Isn't that interesting? National symbol of Wales is a what? Red dragon. So what does that tell you? It tells us that Celtic... Wales, the national symbol goes back to its Celtic and its Celtic background. It's interesting that one of our fundamentalist evangelists is emphasizing Celtic music. And the red dragon. Okay, so the dragon, having seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head and his tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This verse reveals that Satan brought down with him one third of the angels in heaven. They rebelled against God with him. And it cast him to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Of course, this is Christ. The woman is Israel, but also we have here the emphasis of the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. And the woman fled into the wilderness. This now especially refers to the seed of Eve. Here is Israel. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, so 3.5 years. This pinpoints the abomination of desolation of Matthew and Daniel at the middle of the tribulation. Okay, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place any found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's a pretty important statement there. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. All right, so we find all these words here referring to Satan. He is that great deceiver. Okay? He deceived the whole world. Now, let me ask a question. Could the whole world be deceived if the whole world wasn't deceived? Could the whole world be deceived if they thought they were being deceived? No. They were independent thinkers, exactly. Independent thinkers. They thought they weren't being deceived. They were thinking on their own, and obviously that shows the power of Satan. He is able to deceive the whole world. He is the deceiver. We're reminded of John 8:44. He is a liar. I'm going to quote that verse wrong, so I better keep my mouth quiet. Let's read it. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. So when a politician can smile at you and lie, and make the majority of people think that they're telling the truth, well, that's nothing new. Because the devil is a liar, and he's a father of it. And people believe his lies. So we already talked about here. He's the serpent. Genesis 3:1, what do we learn about the serpent? Subtle. Very subtle. Of course, this goes with the whole idea of the deceiver. He is subtle. He has hidden purposes. He has hidden purposes. He doesn't tell you what he is doing. He pretends like he's doing one thing when really he's doing something completely different. And he is very, very good at it, isn't he? He had a hidden purpose. He came to Adam and Eve, and he came to them as their friend, right? He came to them as their friend. He was concerned about them. He came to them and said, you know, you're missing out. You're missing out. And God's holding back something from you that you really need. And I am here to be your friend and bring you to that place where you will get what you really need. And that was his deception, but he had a hidden purpose, didn't he? And his purpose was to become the ruler of this world. That's what his purpose. So he is the serpent. He is subtle. He has now, when you think of the dragon. Yeah. He's the father of lies. Tells lies about God. And so he is, you know, here he is. He's against. Who's he against? Ultimately. He's against God. He's against God. All right, now the serpent. What does that tell us about Satan? Huh? Oh, I mean dragon. Sorry, dyslexia. Dragon. When you see the symbol of a dragon, what do you think of? One third of the stars of heaven fell with the swish of his tail.
Power.
Okay. Power. Ferocious, right? This is no, you know, this is no little game. You know, it's no little game. You know, it's kind of interesting when you think of, isn't the dragon a pretty significant symbol of China? Now, I don't know the connection, but you know, we have an ancient country with an ancient language, and it has a lot of ancient symbols. And one of those symbols is the dragon. And, of course, the people know nothing really. You know, the Far East, there's a lot of symbols of dragons. Okay? And, of course, they know that that represents the underworld. Yes, Mrs. Wright?
They worship the dragon. In all their parades and everything, they are honoring him.
Uh-huh. Isn't that a delight?
Yeah.
Now, we would say that's fool. You know, the West would say, right? But what is the truth behind that? Who is the God of this world? And what is his purpose? What were his hidden purposes? His purpose was to tempt Adam and Eve to sin so that what? He could become the ruler of this world. So the question is he the ruler of this world? Yes, he is. I was just thinking that verse yesterday, 1 John 5, I think it's 17. The whole world lieth in wickedness. It's literally the whole world lieth in the wicked one. The idea is the whole world lies in the realm of, you know, you think of a king, you think of their realm, right? The whole idea is that the whole world lies in the realm, the rule of the wicked one. I mean, I think we take that verse. Am I quoting the reference right? Did anybody look it up?
Verse 19.
19, thank you. Okay. We say, oh yeah, that's right. Right? We say, oh yeah, that's right. But we don't take it literally true. Yes?
I heard a preacher this weekend, Pastor Roberts, made the comment, we think we are so intelligent. I understand Satan. Realize he fooled one third of the angels that spent time with God.
Mm-hmm.
His very presence.
Yes.
Who do we think we know?
And you know what? He's had about 6,000 to 8,000 years of experience. And you know who thinks that the smartest against the devil? Yeah, us. But you know who else? Young people. Oh, they're really smart. They're really smart. They got it all figured out. And if there's anybody who takes the devil unseriously, it's young people. And probably you get about, you know, you have, we're not just talking about 13-year-olds. You know, we're talking about the youth of the 20s today. They don't take it seriously. They got it all figured out. You know, they're still at the prime of their maximum intelligence. Okay? So the dragon speaks of his power and his ferociousness. His power and his ferociousness. You know, there's no... you probably heard about the guy who had a... I think it's... Help me if I'm right or wrong. He had a pet rhino. Yeah, you read about that? He had a pet rhino, and he would go swimming with this rhino. And last week, it was a hippo. Okay, thank you. I knew it was one of the two. But he had a pet hippo, and he would go swimming with this hippo. Last week, the hippo bit him in half. Just like that. Powerful. And that's the certainly the picture of the dragon, isn't it? It's and of course that's where we get the picture of the devil running around in a red pajama suit, you know, with a tail and horns, and we can laugh at that, but in one sense of the word, it's based on certain amount of facts, okay, and the red dragon is that picture. So he's fierce and he's powerful, okay. We talked about the serpent. He is subtle. He has hidden purposes, okay. And here in this passage, it says he is the accuser of our of the brethren. he still has access to God. You know, that's something we can't, I don't know, we just can't quite, yeah, I don't have it all formulated in my mind yet how that, you know, we like to have it, everything figured out, but I don't have that figured out. But it is true, he has access to God. Yes. The fire, yep.
That's what a dragon does to you. He, you know, burns you up with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or physically attacks you or bites you. It's just kind of different than other folklore or other...
Right. And isn't that interesting in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Lord returns, what will he devour them with? The words of his mouth. As he said in creation, let there be light, and there was light. And so, as when the Lord returns, he will defeat his enemies by the word of his mouth. And again, the emphasis, again, that relates to the doctrine of the Bible, doesn't it? Doesn't it? In Revelation 19, who is Jesus called? Turn there. It says, verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That's an interesting phrase. Manoah, the Lord appeared unto Manoah and his wife, and they said, who is your name? What is your name? And the angel of the Lord, probably the pre-incarnate Christ, says, well, what's that to you? Seeing that it is terrible. Of course, the old English word terrible means awesome. It is so great to pronounce that word, I would guess, for him to pronounce his name, what would that be? Would that to be instant death for a mere mortal? In the presence of God, I think there's maybe more to it than we understand. The Jewish scribes, when they copied the Bible, and you've heard this, the Jewish scribes when they copied the Bible, when they came to the name of God, they'd put their pen down. They'd go wash their hands. They'd take up a special pen, in which only with that pen did they write the name of God. And as they copied the manuscript, they would write down the name of God, put the pen down in a special place, wash their hands, and then take the next pen. You know, when we were in Israel, one of our fellows, well, I was on a seminary tour, and one of the fellows was pretty good in Hebrew. And so he wanted to go. We had one night where everybody went into a Jewish home on that particular tour. And so this fella got to go into the home of an Orthodox Jew. And he thought, well, I'm going to witness to this person. And, of course, you can't witness to an Orthodox Jew if you don't speak Hebrew, because you don't know anything if you can't speak Hebrew. And so they would have no reason to listen to you. And so he was going to prove to him or somehow that he knew Hebrew. And so he gave him the scripture, and he was reading the scripture. And he came to the name of God, and he said it. And that was a no-no. For a mortal man to pronounce or to say with human lips the name of God. And he probably lost his opportunity to witness. I'm not exactly sure how everything turned out, but I remember him telling that story. He made a huge mistake. And so today, you know, we don't have that sense of the name of God, do we? Anyway, that wasn't what this was all about here. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. In verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So that sharp two-edged sword is the Word of God. And we find other references to the Word of God. I don't know how we got there, but he is the accuser of the brethren. That's where we were. And that's amazing truth, that Satan still has access to heaven and to God. And all of that is revealed in the book of Job, isn't it? That Satan went about and he said, okay, he came before God, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan said, oh, only reason he serves you is because you bless him. And of course, you know the story. Satan reasoned with God. Well, you know, you take away his possessions, he won't serve you. And he took away all his earthly possessions, and he still was serving God. He said, well, touch his body, and then he won't serve you. And so we do really have a very real illustration of Satan as the accuser of the brethren. I wonder if any, you know, if any of us would be of whatever importance to God that, you know, like whoever it was in the scripture, you know, the sons of Sceva, they wanted to cast out these demons, and the demon says, you know, Paul, we know, but who are you? You know, who are you? You're a nobody. So we don't know what Satan's plans are, but he is certainly stands before God as the accuser of the brethren. Yes?
It's interesting, because it talks about like sin not being able to be in the presence of God, then how come Satan, which is basically the sin, how could he have access to God? How is that possible?
You might say it's a temporary situation in the whole plan of God, because Satan He was created to be a heaven dweller. And so that part of the plan has not yet, come to pass. Thomas?
I just think it's interesting, just thinking about how, here Satan has access to be able to accuse the brethren and so on before God. And all over the world, when the millennium happens, then the angels are going to come and take Satan with a great chain and put him in the bottomless pit so he won't be able to do anymore. So he's going to bind Satan and put him in the pit. And that'll be really good. But it's interesting how all over the world today you have all these Pentecostals and they're all binding Satan here and there. Absolutely nothing happens. But when he's actually bound, it's going to be good. But when people say that they're going to bind him and all this stuff, well, he actually doesn't get bound. He's still doing exactly the same thing.
Okay. So, that's an interesting comment. Yeah. Yes?
Pastor, could it be here that the great position that Satan had prior to his fall, he was walking over the coals of God. He was one of the greatest angels here in the realm of angels. But it didn't quite come into it. We know about his fall, but he still has access. Could it be because of the carryover as to the position that he had prior?
I'm sure that part of it. We find in the Bible we have three angels that have names, right? Right, that we know of? Gabriel, Michael, this is just my theory. I think the third one was you have the Trinity. And each one of these angels had a specific role in relation to the Trinity. This is just my theory. And we know that Gabriel is a good angel, and Michael is a good angel. But Lucifer fell. And again, just my theory. Could be wrong. No basis other than logic. That could be dangerous. But it tells us of his. All these words describe of his great power, of his spiritual existence, of his army. How many angels does the devil have? How many angels does the devil have? How many think? 10,000? Hundred thousand? I heard that statement. 100,000. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. So there was a fella in the fields of Gadara where he had a bunch of backslidden Jews raising pigs. Right? One fellow. And how many demons were in that one fellow? A legion. 5,500? How could 5,500 demons be spared on one insignificant person? Now, maybe he wasn't as insignificant as we think. And maybe he does represent a message that we don't know how how true the picture was. You know, the picture was Jesus is coming across the Sea of Galilee, and what takes place is a great storm. Jesus was sleeping, and the boat was about to sink. Right? Did the devil know where they were headed? Probably. To me, it's a picture of spiritual warfare. The Satan knew exactly where Jesus was going and exactly what the confrontation was about. But the issue is 5,500 demons and one guy. The question is the spiritual battle far bigger than we imagine? I think it is. And I would say that the spiritual battle of people today, you know, I just find it amazing. And I'm not into this stuff, you know, because of Christ. And we're not in the wicked one, praise the Lord. We're in Christ. But I can't imagine that all these Bible people in Bible lands had all these demons. I mean, we're not talking about heathenism, were we, when Jesus was in Israel? We're talking about Jewish people who believed in God. And they had all this problem with demons. Now, I think that, you know, you can get off on the track of being obsessed with demons, and so I don't want to get there. That brings glory to him. But I do feel like that we don't really have a comprehension of the spiritual battle that's going on. And yet the Bible does everything it can to tell us that, man, there's a spiritual battle going on. How are we doing? Okay, let's take the test. This is a Bible retention quiz. So take your pen and see if you know the answers. I'll give you about 5 seconds for each question. Question number one. What word in Genesis 3:1 introduces the character of Satan? 1, 2, 3, 4. Subtle. What New Testament verses tell us that Satan's realm is this world? Second Corinthians 4:4, right? I think it's 4:4. You have more of the Bible memorized than me, but I think I know that. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. What other verse? First John 5:17, that's a good one. We revealed that one today. This is last week, last 2 weeks. That's a good verse, but no. Ephesians 2:2. You hath he quickened who were dead in sins, who walked in time past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. He's the ruler of this world. Okay? Now, we're having this quiz a couple of reasons. One is, we need to have more of these, so you pay attention. And number two is these are not verses you should forget about. They ought to be right here. Right here. You know, the Word of God needs to be right there. If it's not right there, guess what? You aren't going to be thinking right. Because we think, our thinking is based on what's right there. And that's where we got to have God's Word, right there. If it's not there, whatever is right there is going to be the basis of our thinking and our decisions. All right? Okay, number three. How did Satan gain entrance to the rule this world? To the rule as well. Okay? Through Adam and Eve sinning. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered, what? Sin entered what? Into this world. Bible tells us how did sin, and Satan knew it. Sin is going to enter in this world by Adam and Eve sinning. Okay? Four, what are Satan's tactics? That is right. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Have Satan's tactics changed? No. They haven't changed. He has created a system. A worldly system. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Whereby to capture all men in the world. Guess how you capture all men? You capture them by their culture. Every culture has to be attacked by the Word of God. And what parts of it are evil and what parts of it are godly. Every culture. He's the God of this world. The Bible colleges are telling us today we have to be culturally relevant. I'm talking about fundamental Bible colleges. That's the phrase they're using. Be culturally relevant. You know what they're saying? Adopt the thinking of cultures that were born under the influence of Satan. Okay, six. What was Satan's purpose in tempting Adam and Eve? To rule the world. To rule the world, or to cause them to lead a rebellion against God. That'd be another answer. The last question, have Satan's purposes changed? No. His purpose still is to lead people to rebel against God. He hasn't changed. You got a world system that's all based on rebellion against God. Okay, our time. Well, wait a minute. My clock is a couple minutes fast. Okay. So, these are important truths. No wonder the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Why does it say that? Why does it say, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him? Why does it say it? That's right. Because who is the ruler of this world? The devil. And the characteristics of that world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so how is Satan's subtle tactics, hidden agenda. His hidden agenda of the day is, you know what? Let the Christians talk about Jesus as much as they want. It doesn't matter. As long as they embrace the world, it doesn't matter how much they talk about Jesus. Because to love the world is to fall under the realm of Satan. And you cannot be under the realm of Satan and truthfully, honestly be serving God. Not possible. And the attack today is obvious. The attack is to invade, to destroy Christianity with worldliness. And let them talk about Jesus as much as they want. Because as long as you have them submitted to Satan, whether they know it or not, his purpose has been fulfilled. And just like Adam and Eve, he pretended to be their friend, didn't he? But he wasn't their friend. He had a hidden purpose. And to think that that he has just become a naive little puppy sleeping in heaven, you know, That's foolishness. So I think Hal Lindsey, didn't he write the book Satan is Alive and Well or something like that? He kind of got a lot of things mixed up, but the title was good. Okay, time is up. Lord willing, next week we will go on anthropology from the book of Genesis. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will use the Word of God in our lives. Help us to think, Lord, according to the truths of the Bible. And help us to have these thoughts, these revealed truths at the top of our mind. So that, Lord, we are not led astray by the multitude of messages and impulses of the present. And we pray that, Lord, that we will increase our desire to know the Word of God and to know the truths and the exact truth, the exact reference, the exact phrases of the Word of God at the top of our mind. For your sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.